time to learn about everything happening during the world's biggest tournament. It's the World of Soccer with Glenn Davis.
Presented by Kaplan Sinus Relief. Breathe well, live well.
Now back to John and Lance inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
All right, welcome back. It is every 8 o'clock. Every 8 o'clock, Glenn Davis joins us to tell us what's happening at the World Cup, and it just has never been better for a U.S. team than it is right now. Winning their group, moving on. They got Turkey on Thursday, but let's talk about what happened against Australia with Glenn Davis, the foremost authority here, brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief. Glenn, welcome in. Your thoughts on the U.S. game on Friday?
Well, let's start with this. Let's just put it in the context of, you know, you're playing without your talisman, your best attacking player, who definitely, when he's in your team, makes you a different team. To get this result was good. This was a tricky game. Australia, big, physical, powerful. We knew they would be physical, organized defensively. Getting the game's first goal, obviously, was important. But this is a good win. I think when you go through World Cups, you're not going to play perfect every game. We've seen that a lot, even from some of the world powers. So to get this result against Australia and do it without your star player, you saw the mood after the game. You saw the mood prior to the game. The country's behind the team now. There's a tremendous sense of pride and unity. I felt that in the national anthem. And then at the end of the game when the stadium was singing Country Roads. So I think they're going into the third game in a place we've never gone in before. That is, you know, we got a champagne problem in this upcoming game, because we've never before been able to win our first two games and have been advanced and in a position where we can make the decisions we need to make. It usually is about survival in the final group game.
Yeah. So how do they approach it?
Well, they got four guys who are right up the spine of their team, a lot of them, three out of the four, and they're very key pieces, as you guys know. Tyler Adams, Chris Richards, Anthony Robinson, Fowler and Balogun. These guys are all on yellow cards. If they were to pick a yellow card up against Turkey, they don't play in the knockout stage. So my guess is those guys are not going to play, or if they do, sparingly, and you're going to see a lot of others get opportunity, players like maybe Mark McKenzie, Austin Trusty, Joe Scally, who was on in the last game, Tim Weah. Some of these other guys, I think, are going to get opportunity, which could bode well for you further in the tournament.
Yeah, yep. I mean, it would be a crime if any of them picked up their second yellow card. So why even play them?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I think. But look, Pochettino is known to surprise. I don't think he takes the risk with any of those, because those are four centerpieces of the team in a very, very big way. Now, what happens with Pulisic? If he's in a place where they feel he's deemed healthy, maybe he gets a couple of minutes for sharpness. But the delicate side of this is we have tremendous momentum right now, so you don't want to lose that.
Yeah, I'm curious who has an opportunity. I mean, there's going to be some guys who get starts who have not started the first two matches. Who are some guys coming off the bench where this is going to be a good opportunity for them to maybe shine, and who knows, maybe even earn an opportunity to find their way into a game as a substitute come knockout round?
Well, there'll be guys that played in the last game that will play. Right. You know, maybe Gio Reyna gets a starting position. Ricardo Pepi, maybe he starts as the striker in this one, the lone striker up top. Some center backs will get opportunity. Austin Trusty, who plays at Celtic, Mark McKenzie. So it'll be a very different lineup. It'll look different, and it might even feel different. Don't know, but this will be a huge opportunity for some players that have never played in a World Cup before. And like I said, you know, when you're a part of a team, I think you guys know, if you're not playing, yeah, you're a part of the team, no question. And Pochettino's got that rolling. But, boy, to get some minutes and you feel even deeper into it.
What did you think? I know that you ease up some when you got a 2-0 lead, but what did you think of their second half?
Yeah, it wasn't. I don't think Mauricio Pochettino would have been happy necessarily with the way they managed the game. It got a little helter-skelter at one point, I thought, which played to Australia, right? They were trying to create a little bit of chaos and lump some balls into the box. I was hoping we could settle it down a little bit. That said, mission was accomplished. It would have been nice to have gotten the third and put the game away, but, you know, it's all a foregone conclusion now. These guys are looking ahead. They're not looking behind.
Yep, yep, yep. Glenn Davis with us here on ESPN 97.5. Turkey, what are the ramifications for Turkey right now in the group?
Turkey's done. They're out.
They're
so what type of Turkish team you get? You know, do you get guys who are prideful to want to finish the tournament in a good way? Their whole country is extremely disappointed. I have a friend who's in the Turkish FA, and I talked to him, and he could hardly talk about how disappointed, you know, everybody is about the results and the team. So that's kind of interesting to see what type of Turkey shows up in this game, because certainly they got to be really down right now.
I saw you spotlighted a writer who made a comment about this is a little while back, but maybe you can speak to when it came out. But the writer from, I think, ESPN pointed out how Turkey was the best by a pretty good margin in this group. And that was his prediction, and that certainly has not been the case.
Well, listen, Turkey definitely could be the most technical team in the group. They got Arda Güler, who plays at Real Madrid. They have big players that play on big teams. I would have said that, too, that they were the most technical, and I did say they could be the most dangerous in the group.
Right.
But if you don't take your chances, you're two and gone. And, you know, I think the thing that writer really was pushing was, you know, that the U.S. was confused. And I don't know, there's a little bias sometimes towards the United States from writers from overseas. I don't think there's any question when it comes to the soccer.
That's what I was going to ask you, because this is something that's going on behind the scenes, and I wanted you to. There is a belief in some corners that some members of the media have been unnecessarily negative about the U.S. soccer team in years past. And yet, I think some of it has been very. And you've been critical when you've needed to be critical about the U.S. men's national team right here on our show and your show. But is there a belief that maybe the U.S. men's national team has been getting, there's still, maybe there are people who are almost cheering against them? Because that's the theme I keep hearing, is that there's almost a sentiment of there's groups in the U.S. who almost cheer against the men's national team, and I'm trying to figure out why that would be the case.
Well, I think people do that in all sports, right? Like, look, I've experienced it firsthand going to Central America for World Cup qualifiers, and it's a whole country, whether it's Guatemala, whatever the country, from a sporting standpoint, that want to beat the beast, right? You know, we're in the world of soccer. We're not the best at it. We're a developing country in a lot of ways. But I do think there is a bias, and I think it comes for a variety of reasons. It's not necessarily all soccer reasons, which is weird to me. But if you're writing about soccer, I would say stick to soccer. But, it happens. But I would also say this is the perfect source of motivation. I hope that never goes away, right? I think growing up, you know, in my generation, it was, you know, can Americans play the game? And, you know, the guys on the 90 and 94 World Cup and 98 World Cup that were born and raised in the United States had a big fire lit under them, because when you're disrespected, you want to turn it around and you want to prove something out that you can play this game. And I remember when I was on the pro team here in Houston in the 80s, and if we had a game against a foreign team, Sheffield United or a team from Guadalajara, Mexico, whatever, I mean, that was a measuring stick for us, even though it was a friendly, you know. So I love the source of motivation that provides, and I think these guys are all on big clubs. They can handle it.
Glenn Davis, brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief, right here on ESPN 97.5 every morning, 8 o'clock. You'll get your best soccer talk right here. What did you think of the walk from Rice to NRG with the L'Orange? And tomorrow, Portugal is planning much of the same. How awesome that is.
Yeah, I think it was a really, really fun thing for a lot of people in Houston. And you saw people, I mean, I have a lot of friends that I'm like, they're like, oh no, I'm going in it, or my kids are going in it. So I think it was wonderful. The Dutch brought all this great spirit here. It was incredible inside the stadium for the Netherlands, Sweden. It was a great game. It was up and down in the first half. I think, you know, we learn a little bit about the culture of the sport and what it means to people around the world.
Yeah. So give us your experience. You're calling that game. You're calling all these different games at Reliant. What it's been like for you each of these games so far?
Yeah, it's like heaven, honestly. It's just, you know, you get there, you have to get there early. And when you're sitting in your position and you're looking at notes and you're getting prepared for the game, in real time, you're watching the stadium slowly fill up and the acoustics start getting louder. The color starts opening up. The play-by-play guy who I'm working with, Paul, from England, he's from Sheffield. He described the stadium in the open as a fruit bowl with oranges and lemons, because that was the colors you saw, orange and yellow.
There have been some real positive comments about the stadium, Glenn. International fans seem to really love American stadiums. Why is that?
I think because, well, we have probably the most modern stadiums in the world in volume, right?
Right.
And I think the way they're putting the show on is pretty incredible. It's definitely entertainment-based, but fans are all getting along. I loved hearing, like, these testimonies of people saying, hey, Houstonians are so nice. And you're hearing that all over the country. And I think the U.S. also gets a little bad rap, like we're all not the nicest of people. I mean, of course, we have our few that go beyond that and make us all look bad, but every culture has that. And in general, the U.S. fans and the hospitality coming from those from around the world, it's all been incredibly positive and wonderful.
Well, and not only that, I mean, I've been to a couple of them. I've gone to Real Madrid, I've gone to Roma, and their stadiums are so plain and they don't have all of the bells and whistles that we have with the concourses.
True.
And all the food stands and everything. They just don't. I mean, so for them, it's like, holy crap, look all this stuff that you guys got.
Yeah, by the way, the two giant screens, and I know you guys have been to games, but the two giant screens behind the goal, I mean, they're massive. They're massive, and it's hard to believe that, like, they're crystal clear, too, right? Like, you would expect the resolutions not to be where. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, they don't have this in their countries, that's for sure. Not the way that we do it. Any other? Okay, let's move on to what other games, your biggest impressions from the weekend?
Yeah, I think we've seen a lot of really, really interesting things. Yesterday we got Spain getting a result and Lamine Yamal getting the start and scoring very early. So you got the 18-year-old Barcelona superstar off and running. Uruguay struggled. Cape Verde again gets a remarkable result. Egypt, Mo Salah scores for Egypt. They get a 3-1 come from behind victory over New Zealand. And then guess what we got today? I mean, we got the world's three best strikers right in a row. Messi in Argentina at noon, Mbappe in France after that, and then Erling Haaland in Norway. I mean, what a day today. What a day today in World Cup viewing. And then, of course, you know, seeing these three amazing strikers on three very good teams.
Yeah. No, this is going to be a fun day. No question about that. And we got – and Cabo Verde gets another – how about them? They're tied. How about the
this game against Saudi Arabia is huge for them here. At first, we thought it was a throwaway game. The third match, it won't mean anything. And guess what? It means everything now for this nation.
Oh, yeah,
who's never
for Saudi. Yeah, Saudi can still advance, too, potentially, if they were to win. So, and Cabo Verde, I mean, they're living large right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Curaçao was able to score a goal that was – That was neat. Or no, well, they scored
in the first one.
But they got a tie against Ecuador.
Oh, yeah. And they celebrated it meant so much to them.
And the goalkeeper, Eloy Room, who I've had on my show a couple of times, super nice guy, set a record in the World Cup for 15 saves in a 90-minute game.
They were real saves, too. They weren't just like gimmies.
Yeah.
There were some good saves.
Must have looked like a beach ball to him.
Yeah, it did. It did. So that was – it is – that's one of the things that really has drawn me to the World Cup over the decades, I guess, has been just how much it means to other countries. And I'm glad it's starting to mean that. We're showing signs of it meaning that to a lot of people here in our country too. So I think that's great.
So
this is a big point, Lance, because I do think we've already two games in. I think there's a lot of new soccer fans that have been born in the United States, and I think the other real appealing thing that I hear repeatedly, and it's something I share, and I'm sure you guys do, but you know the way the U.S. played in that first game, how attack oriented they were. You know, you take pride also in the way you play. We had never seen that before in a World Cup. So it's results, but it's also the way you play, the effort you put in for your fan base, the aesthetics of the way you play. It's all important.
So, yeah, we saw some maybe it's a little hard to get going, Glenn, but after some ties, Spain looked great against Brazil, Japan in their second matchups, the Netherlands. You know, they started to get going. The U.S. started so fast that it was great, but these other teams now, who in your opinion now is looking the best? Maybe the top four teams so far that you've seen in World Cup play.
Well, I thought the Netherlands were outstanding, and they, you know, you mentioned something really interesting. I think teams enter this tournament in a lot of different ways. Some of them, you know, sputter a little bit at the start, they increase. You might see somebody sneak in to the single elimination rounds, round of 32, that you're kind of like, yeah, they didn't play that well, and all of a sudden they're playing well, and now they go on a run or win a game or two. So there's a lot of that going on. I think Spain's going to be feeling good to finally get a game under their belt. But I think what we have with Portugal and Uzbekistan on is that Wednesday? I better know. Yeah, it's Wednesday.
Tuesday.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be good to know.
Since you got to call it.
Yeah. That is a huge game for Portugal, and there's a lot swirling around them. Uzbekistan's still in it, but Portugal, you know, after that opening match that, you know, people were very concerned about, there's all this talk about Ronaldo. Should he be playing? Should he not be? Is he selfish? Should Roberto Martinez replace him and he come off the bench potentially? There's big storylines around that game, and that's happening right here in Houston at Houston Stadium.
Yeah, we'll see who else just jump starts in the second. Still some more second round games to go here as we head down the stretch. And U.S. 2-0. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Just great fun here. Now, I think we talked about it a little bit earlier, Glenn. This may turn a lot of people into, because the U.S. looks so good. You know, we've never seen this before, that they're one of the teams being talked about, actually. We don't know how far they'll go, but they certainly are being talked about. And maybe this turns a lot of U.S. fans on, and they become big soccer fans after this.
A lifetime opportunity. You're the host nation, core players that have been to a World Cup, core players playing in Europe. The time is now.
Let's go. Glenn Davis, brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief, every morning at 8 right here on ESPN 97.5. He'll be in his car tomorrow as he gets ready for Portugal and Uzbekistan at Reliant NRG, whatever, to Houston Stadium
yeah.
Tomorrow. That'll be some kind of fun. Glenn, as always, man, we appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
All right. Big day today, thanks, guys. Glenn. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it.
There is Glenn Davis with us here on ESPN 97.5. Good stuff. All right, we got a break. I'm talking right now. Speaking of good stuff, how about a guy? And Glenn talked about, you know, experience. The U.S. has got experience at the highest level. Well, I got a guy who's got experience 30 years of doing mortgages here in the city of Houston. All right. So if you are looking for the best way to do it, you don't know the mortgage game. You don't know to get that. Do you have a loan officer? Do you have, you know, what mortgage are you getting? Which one? Are you getting a jumbo, USDA, an FHA, a conventional? Do you have the real estate agent? Is your real estate agent maybe a little bit kickback for you? We'll take a little bit of little bit less. Kent Jones has found that for people before. All of the different things that you need that in a mortgage that you got to take care of. That's what the broker does. That's what Kent Jones does. You don't do it as well. Don't just walk in and just sign papers like I did. I wish I had Kent Jones, because Kent Jones is the guy who will find you the best deal he possibly can on all of it, all of that different stuff. Literally, in a lot of cases, saving $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 at signing or over the life of the loan. You're looking for the best way to get that loan. You need Kent Jones. He's A-plus at the Better Business Bureau, 30 years as a discount mortgage broker, 713-520-5626, 713-520-LOAN, or 975loans.com.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. Glenn Davis, awesome stuff. Always great to talk soccer. He's right in the middle of calling games. Calling games. That's just awesome. Good for him. Astros. For those of you just joining us, Astros take 2 out of 3. That's their third straight series win. 500 now. Hunter Brown back. Hunter Brown is going to pitch tonight. He's going to go against Dylan Cease because Toronto had a rainout yesterday, so Dylan Cease gets pushed back to today. Now, I would have preferred Dylan Cease, although Dylan Cease is Dylan. He's good, but Dylan Cease is going to be the starter tonight. With Bieber going tomorrow, and then what's his name? He's a hero from the World Series last year. He's going in Game 3.
Yeah.
So we got that. We got a winner take all tonight. North Carolina and Oklahoma. So
you're gonna be watching?
I'll watch the Astros, and then maybe I'll have it on.
Maybe. You might watch a little bit.
I'll have the World Cup on. I'll have Astros on, and I'll put that on. Yeah, absolutely.
You got more than one TV.
Yeah. I got a nice little setup where I can watch three things at once.
All right, so tell us how your Ryder Cup went, the Ryder Cup of Los Angeles.
It wasn't a Ryder Cup of Los Angeles. It was a member guest. We didn't play the best. We weren't the best. Of course, we're in a group. There were only two flights, which is highly unusual, but there were only two flights. We were the last team in on the top flight. If our indexes, our handicaps were a half a point higher, we could have been the best team in the second group, in the second flight. But instead, we were the last team in the first flight. And that wasn't great. Not when the guys in the top flight are shooting 60. 60. Yeah. And we're not shooting 60. So that was difficult. We had no chance. But we had fun. We destroyed. I will say this. L.A. is more of a Coors Light town than I ever knew.
How do you figure that out?
They had Modelo's there. But everywhere, Coors Lights were out of the, they have giant buckets of beers on different holes, and Coors Light was gone. So we had to grab them around the turn. Coors Light was flying all weekend long. It was a thing of beauty, if you want to know the truth, thing of beauty. And it was a lot of fun. The club does a great job. We had all kinds of events that we did. It's just a good time had by all. That's all. It was fun. So, and how were the shows while I was gone? Great?
I mean, yeah, they were fine. we had Will, our guy Will was in and did an hour with me of radio. Texans Stressing, Texans commenter, did an hour with me. And then Dell and I took care of a couple hours. And then Trevor Sikkema, who does a lot of pro football and draft stuff on NFL Stock Exchange with Connor Rogers, he joined us via the Comrex Field Tap app, and he came on and did the last hour with us.
Vi Sikkema? That was cool.
Trevor Sikkema? Different. Different.
Oh, that's different.
He's the one who's married to Alyssa Lang, who's a sideline reporter at ESPN.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well done, Trevor. Yeah. Well done. Well done. Well, that's great. And Dell was his usual perky
Stuff. Did everything he typically does. All the same moves that he usually has for you. He had him again.
Dell, you had your, typical.
We did get in a little late. We didn't have the doors unlocked for us. We got there. We're like, uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
East.
But we got it taken care of pretty quick.
Yeah, well, good. And you had a great watch party right there at East River 9. We've got more watch parties all over. We're the station for soccer here. We are the station for
We always have been. We've been the show for it. A lot of people have acknowledge that
they come here for that.
A lot of content. People are like, hey, you guys really know your soccer, and we're like, yeah, we do. Really do.
And no, absolutely.
Many people are saying that, you know, a lot of people who from outside the states, when they come over, they'll listen to us and they'll say, wow, like finally I didn't know you Yanks have this kind of football talk going on.
We're like, evidenced by John's admission that the World Cup final of 2022 got him into international soccer.
Right.
Clearly have always been a soccer show.
Always been a soccer
show. Since that time, it's pretty heavy.
Perhaps.
I was watching U.S. games before, but I wasn't watching.
Yeah. Perhaps the greatest soccer match ever finally got John into international soccer.
Well, yeah. that's all it's for.
That's all it took.
That's what it's for.
That's all it took.
Right. I mean, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I'm not criticizing you for that. I'm criticizing you both for the lie you just told.
What lie?
Since that time, we are the foremost authority on soccer.
Yes.
In the city of Houston.
Sure.
I mean, it's only four years.
What do you mean?
What a run!
It's been a hell of a run. You've taken that away from Glenn Davis.
How many shows have a 4-year run like that?
You just took it away from Glenn Davis. You called this show the foremost authority. What about Glenn Davis?
He had done a show
without you guys during that time, and you still are taking that mantle away from him? Glenn, it'd be your own people, Glenn.
You know, I think he would admit. He'd be like, you know.
He would not admit.
Glenn's a
very jovial and nice guy. He would not admit that this show has been the foremost authority on soccer.
He might admit it.
He would be lying.
Uh-huh.
He does tell me all the time, oh, God, I got to tell you what my dog did.
What?
This
Glenn
is horrible.
Glenn talked to you about your dog? His dog?
No, this has to do with
dog.
My This has to do with
oh,
my
you just
dog.
Flipped from one topic to another.
No. It has to do with Glenn Davis, the great Glenn Davis.
Okay.
I brought my dog up here to go get – my dog Splits loves to – he loves to come up to the office, and he'll – like, no one's here, so he follows behind me. He knows exactly how to get up here. But for some reason, he gets this attitude when he gets in here. And one time, he's like, he just has come and just tried to make a little bit of a mess in here. And I'm talking to Glenn Davis, and he's like, oh, that's a cute dog. And like, I said, he's good. You know, I gave Glenn was petting him and everything. Put him down. Glenn and I are talking about soccer. I just put the dog down. I just, that's fine. I put him down. He'll walk around a little bit. All of a sudden, I'm like, what stinks? He just in the studio pounded a deuce. I'm like, oh. And he doesn't do that inside house. That's like his little passive-aggressive way of just trying to, you know, just trying to bully me a little bit. Just saying, you know what I think I'm going to do right here while you're talking to Glenn Davis, the foremost authority in the city of Houston on soccer? I'm going to light something up that smells so bad that you have no choice but to acknowledge, but to stop your conversation with Glenn and go get a paper towel immediately. He gets in a car, and the dog's got that smiling look that dogs do sometimes. I'm like, you son of a bitch. Can't believe you did this. And then yesterday, looking at him yesterday, he's shaking. We had to take him to my wife took him to the animal hospital at 12:30 at night last night. He's shaking. We thought, and the doctor said, he looks kind of like he's high. Did he ingest marijuana? Like, what? No, we don't have any in our house. But immediately I thought, Mason! But it's not Mason. There's no one. I don't know what he ate. He got into a trash and must have eaten something because he was not doing well last night and is not doing well today. So maybe that's just because he drops deuces everywhere he goes just to mark his territory.
Yeah, just drop a deuce. That's what I do.
Glenn's like, no, it's no problem. That happens with dogs. I'm like, Glenn, you don't understand. This is intentional. This was with intent. He doesn't just do that. That's not what he does. He does that with intent. He's trying to, there's a message he's sending right now behind this.
Well, and you know what? Good. Maybe if you treated the dog better, you keep putting him down.
So, okay. So you were right. Portugal's going to do that walk to the stadium also.
Yeah.
I assume it's going to start the same place, Rice?
Said 9 o'clock.
That's the time
sure
the Dutch fans took off,
place,
too.
But they said 9 o'clock they're going to start. Probably same.
I would imagine it's the same because you've got a park, a place where everyone can park and gather. And, golly, there was 20,000 people that did this walk to the stadium. 20,000.
Incredible how many people.
Yeah.
I mean,
when's the last time Rice Stadium, Rice parking lot saw that many people at one time?
Oh no, it's been a while.
It's been a long time.
I don't quite know how to answer that. To be honest,
they just don't. They don't get that many people.
The Super Bowl.
No, there was a matchup.
1973.
Oh, you know what? Because Rice and Houston had a football game years ago with Todd Graham, but that was at U of H.
That I thought the one where Rice beat the Cougs to win the conference title was at Rice.
Yeah, I thought it was at U of H.
I don't think so. I kind of remember that. It was a David Bailiff team, not even a Todd Graham
game. Well, the one I'm thinking of was the Todd Graham game.
It had, what was the receiver's name? I forgot his name, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
He played in the league for a little bit.
And then I think James Casey was on that team, too.
Jarrett.
I'll figure it out. But I think that one was at Rice. That might have been a crowd comparable to what we saw on Saturday. Or yesterday,
Are you sure Rice got 20?
It might have been all Cougs fans, but... conference title, pseudo-title game? I think so.
They've had a couple games at basketball. They had a bunch of people. You and I called a game there one time years ago, John, when it was packed.
Yep.
It was packed. Was that a Clyde game, by the way? I think it was a Clyde as head coach game.
Yeah, we did it on Channel 51. Yep. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776 right now. Let's buy a little jewelry, Lance, for people.
Yeah, Zadig Jewelry. You can go to Zadig.com and kind of get a head start. But Zadig Jewelry is where you can stop in for, it's 28,000 square feet of everything. Tennis bracelets, diamond earrings, necklaces, pendants, hoop earrings. You've got... luxury watches. I mean, anything that you can think of, they've got it available for you at Zadig Jewelers. They've been in the business for over 4 decades. And so the family, and it's a completely family run operation. And I mean, everybody, once you marry into it, you're marrying into the Zadig name and you're probably working there as well. And that's great because it really means something. Their customer service, their selection, the experience they want you to have means a lot because it's a Zadig name that's on the line. And for over 4 decades, they've been doing this and making memories for people across Houston, and they're incredible. If you're looking for an engagement ring, nobody does it better. Cut, clarity, color of a diamond. They can educate you on that. They can find loose diamonds for you. They can create a setting. They have the very best settings, but they can also create a custom-made setting if you want to help design that so you have something unique to give your fiance. It's all available at 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. That's where memories are made on a regular basis. 1801 Post Oak Boulevard at Zadig Jewelers.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 713-780-3776. To get in with us here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. I saw some stats from some Texans stats over the weekend that were, well, blocking stats anyway. And it was interesting to see the grades from PFF last year. Who do you think, including the new guys that the Texans, who do you think was the best true pass set pass blocker?
For the Texans?
Yeah. Oh, no. Including the new guys that have been added.
It wasn't Braden. Braden took a little downturn last year.
It was Braden.
Was it?
It was Braden.
Okay, because I know Wyatt Teller took a downturn for sure. Oh, yeah. Braden's run blocking went down a little bit last year, which I'm not worried about that.
So. Well, apparently his pass block, and that surprised me a little bit, was that his pass blocking would have been the best, according to Pro Football Focus,
right,
which we know is not always perfect. But Braden's was 69.8. Next best was Trent Brown at 62.6. And Trent Brown did a nice job. He was okay. Jake Andrews, 57. Ariante, 52. Wyatt Teller, 49. Ed Ingram, only a 38 last year.
Wow.
Yeah. 38.3. I didn't see that, actually. I didn't feel like he was a huge problem.
Well, that was a concern with the Vikings fans, is he was not good in pass protection. We know as a run blocker, he did pretty well.
I don't feel like he could have a nice 3-year deal.
I didn't walk away from games saying, and I'm sure he had some bad snaps, but I didn't walk away from the season thinking Ed Ingram is just, you can't play him in pass pro. I don't know. Maybe I'm misremembering, but it didn't come across to me like that was the guy that. Now it could be an issue this year. We'll have to keep an eye on it. But they're so deep on the offensive line relative to what they usually have that if he's not good, they could make a change. So it's just they have options. That's all I'm trying to say.
And then Fabici Nwawu is 86 in college football. He was at Oklahoma. Kalen Rutledge was an 83 pass blocker. God, that was his pass blocking grade.
Okay.
So, we'll see what happens. But I wonder, you know, it'll be interesting. Kalen Rutledge will be the starting center, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if he's not. If he's not, it'd be a big disappointment. A first-round pick loses out to Jake Andrews. That would be pretty shocking to me.
Yeah, because we know Wyatt Teller's going to play.
Yep.
We know Ed Ingram's going to play.
Yep.
So the only way for Rutledge to get on the field is to beat out Jake Andrews.
They're already talking about it. I think Ed Ingram was talking about it. You can already see he's got a dog in him. You know, yep. Like he's already pancaking. When you go on the ground, you know, the thing that offensive line, he's got to be careful doing this already in camp, but the thing offensive linemen will do that a lot of fans get upset about, but it's legal in an O-line move, is when a guy gets down, they'll splash you. Like Kamala, the old wrestler, the Ugandan warrior, he had a splash where he'd hit his stomach like a beat on his stomach like a drum, and then he jumped on top of you with his stomach. Like, you know, stomach first. That was called the Kamala splash. Well, that's basically what offensive linemen will do. Only they'll hit you really hard, sometimes with shoulder too. You got to be careful not to pick up a flag. But if you're on the ground, they will basically just punish you on the ground and lay on top of you. And it's just, in football, it's just considered one of those things. Like defensive linemen rarely react negatively to it because they know that's the deal. If you go down, they're going to jump on you. And so stay off the ground. And he for sure will. Kalen Rutledge is for sure trying to start something a lot.
Kalen, yeah.
Yeah, he's not afraid to start something. If you think you're just going to have a game where you're not going to, you know, you won't get a little extra shove after the play's over, he's going to give you the extra shove. I promise.
He likes
you
to bury you. He loves that.
Loves it.
He loves to see himself on tape the next day burying you.
Yeah, and then it, you know, if you're going to get into that little pushing match after a snap is over, he's probably going to be one of the last push guys. Like he's going to make sure he gets the last one in.
Absolutely. 713-780-3776. If you would like to get in here. So it'll be interesting to see. Yeah, if they've got a little bit of an edge to that offensive. I think Wyatt Teller brings that a little bit. I think that that Rutledge brings that a little bit. Maybe they'll have some more of that edge. And I love listening, for those who did not hear him, Wyatt Teller talking about how he's rejuvenated. Once you leave Cleveland and all those, you know, you're a loser for all those years.
Yeah.
You maybe get a little, you come here and you see the way that D'Amico runs the ship and how you feel like, you know, this is a playoff team every year, that you get, you know, you get rejuvenated. And he said that. He said, I'm rejuvenated coming here to Houston. So looking forward to that. 7137. When we come back, we'll hear from Mauricio Pochettino on the win.
He's
not American.
He's Italian. He's probably
American.
Italian. Ooh, you, I like my pasta al dente.
he absolutely does. We will hear from him on the other side.
What
about
is
his,
he? Is he Argentinian?
About his pasta.
What is he?
Do we know? He's Argentinian.
I mean, Pochettino feels like you could claim him, John.
He's Argentinian.
I don't think he's not Italian.
He's Argentinian.
But Pochettino. Does that not sound like your people?
Well, it does sound, but a lot of my people, I don't know if you heard, they left.
Well, some of my people went to
Argentina. Yeah, all your people are in Argentina, too.
Ran in disgrace.
Fled.
Who knows?
Germany.
How do you want to define
Germany and Italy. Is Argentina just where you would go to escape bad behavior?
Yes.
Okay. Persecution.
Apparently they didn't have, extradition law. So
they're just like, whatever.
Let's go there.
There's a reason one of Argentina's most famous players in the modern era is named Heinze.
Yeah.
His last name is Heinze.
I got to say, there's a lot of teams I'm like, are we sure that guy is, we sure he's got family? Because the faces of these teams look a lot different over the last, like, if you went back to 18 World Cup and the components and the makeup of teams, including the U.S., is way different now. We've got Germans. We've got British guys. We just need, all I need is one dad. I just need a dad who's American. That's all I need. Or a mom who's American.
Or
that's
not even that. A pregnant mother who happened
who
to be in America.
Get back.
Yeah. Don't even. Which is birthright citizenship. Which is a very complicated topic right now. But look at that. Our goal scorer benefited from it. But that's a different conversation. The whole world is like
Sergio
that.
Dest, is that what
Sergio Dest is of, he has a
German.
No, he has a Dutch accent because he grew up there.
I thought it was German.
No.
What is his dad? Was he an army brat or something?
His dad is of Suriname descent. He fought in the Vietnam War for America, and he was
America.
Good enough.
And he was over there in the Netherlands and met a woman, and Sergio was born over there.
We just need a little, just a little piece of American is all we need.
All we need. Well, fought in the Vietnam War, that's a big piece. Yeah. I'm watching. Now, see, this
now
is
his
the way.
His dad fought in the Vietnam War?
Yes, his dad fought.
Do you know how long ago that was?
That's the story.
They talked about it on the broadcast the other day. Like, his dad had to have had him when he was 58 years old or something.
Hey.
Like,
you
seriously.
You can still get it done at that
seriously.
Age.
Yeah. I'm looking at Argentina nightmare. Take over Dallas right now. This is the way immigrants should take over cities. Waving flags of players and messy flags and 10 flags. I mean, this is the way. Now, this is
what about the Scottish? The way they took over Boston and drank four times the amount of St. Patrick's Day when they were there.
The way the city of Houston was orange yesterday.
They were yesterday. We'll see what they are. Portugal's got their second.
Portugal's
match
got
here.
Is red. It'll be red and it's gonna be a red takeover tomorrow. It's gonna be a red takeover. This is the best way for immigrants to take over cities, I think.
Soccer?
That's just me. Soccer.
By going on soccer marches?
Soccer marches and drinking all the beer out of a city?
And also saying, I can't believe we went to Texas Roadhouse and they gave us refills. And a waitress came over and called me hun and baby and sugar. It was great. They're the best.
Well,
I know we had differences, of course, but the fact that they're enamored and mystified by refills is the one thing I'm like, hey.
Refills and the portions.
I'm like, what's
going on?
I knew that.
Or like
the refill
bread,
thing.
Bread coming before the meal.
Yeah.
They couldn't
or
they can't believe it.
Filling
chips
up on
and
chips
salsa.
And bread.
Chips and salsa, yeah.
Rookies never fill up on chips and bread.
No. All right, let's break. Let's talk a little Zadok Jewelry. Fill up on jewelry.
I just did that. I think we must have somebody else here, Dell, that you want me to talk about. I just talked about Zadok Jewelers. Is there someone else you want me to talk about here, Dell? I'll do it.
HR&P?
Yeah, John.
HR&P! I had my HR&P koozie from when we had our golf tournament. HR&P brought their koozie, so I took a little picture, sent it to the boys over at HR&P. You know what? And I'm just an employee here, and I have a relationship with HR&P. Your people will have relationships with HR&P. They'll be good friends. When I'm serious, because there are a lot of your people. When your people come, when they have their crawfish boil at HR&P every spring, they do. They have a big crawfish boil, and companies bring 3, 4, 5, 10 people. I don't know, whatever they bring. And you all get to know the great people at HR&P. Your employees, they have access to HR&P when they have any kind of a question about their benefits packages or their payroll or whatever happens. They don't go through you. They go right to HR&P. Everybody gets the phone number. Everybody can call in. Hey, this happened or this happened. Can you guys help me out? And HR&P does. So HR&P takes it over. Again, we have a person in our HR and payroll department that's a part-time employee. And she, basically there's not much for her to do. So this is what HR&P does. They take that over. They own it. They do it perfectly. The payroll, the HR, the taxes, then they help you out with and help you choose the right 401ks and insurance packages for your people. It's a partnership, and HR&P, you get to know them, you get to like them, they're friends. HRP.net, partner with HRP.net, and let them take care of all of your issues. HRP.net, 281-880-6525, or HRP.net.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay, that's cool.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So, right now, we're scheduled to play Bosnia and Herzegovina in the round of 32.
Yeah, I saw that.
That is the probability. The highest probability.
Right.
But if Qatar beats Bosnia, that changes. But the projection is based off the belief that Bosnia would beat Qatar because Qatar got rolled by Canada in their last match. But if they win or it's a tie,
rolled badly,
that would flip the probabilities.
And then, assuming they won their opener in the round of 16, we play Egypt.
As it Mo stands. Salah.
Yep. As it stands. Mo Salah's got no chance against the likes of us.
Mm. He's pretty good.
There's only one Mo Salah. One Mo Salah.
Scored his first World Cup goal yesterday.
I thought he had two. Did he end up with two?
No, he scored one.
Just one.
That was his first ever?
That was his first World Cup goal. Egypt has been a consistent member of World Cups and just winning in part of the AFCON tournament, which is the version, the Gold Cup for Africa, I guess I'd call it, to make the comparison. But they have not done great in World Cups, and he had not gotten off the mark until yesterday.
Hmm. Wow. Wild. So, but we would be favored against Egypt, no?
Yes. The way we're playing, being at home, all that's going to play a part. Yeah, we would be favored, but now you're starting to get into the top 16 teams in the world at that point, and you've got a real star who can change a game with one swing of his left foot. So when you get into that level, yeah, we'd be favored, but they got the best player. And if all it would take was one kick, and he could change the complexity of an entire game. That's how good he is. But, hey, if we get there, I like our chances if we're healthy.
Yeah, yeah. We've already got us in the round of eight. Look at us.
Who is we?
Me.
Okay.
Yeah, we were in the round of eight already. We beat Bosnia, and then we beat Egypt. Okay. Boom, eight. Which would be
something. We've been in a quarterfinal before, but we've never won two knockout round matches in the modern era before.
Well, we got the winningest coach of all time after two games.
Yeah, you made a comment earlier that this is the best run or whatever. We've actually won a knockout round match before.
Yeah, but we didn't go into it with two wins in the group stage.
You know, what about people saying, oh, who have you beaten yet? Like they're trying to go after our out-of-conference
schedule. Well, I guess Paraguay
is
a little bit better since they won their second game against Turkey.
They're trying to go after our out-of-conference schedule. They're like, you haven't scheduled anybody. This is classic SEC team. You don't schedule anybody outside of your conference. You know, they're trying to come after us just like an SEC team. Like, no, we just play who's in front of us, okay? I don't want to hear about it. We play who they put on our schedule. That's all. I don't want to hear about the soft schedule of the U.S. We play who is on the schedule. And that's all you can do. And we're covering everything. We're just getting covers. And that's the main thing. Win in soccer, but also cover.
I don't know.
Always be covering.
In a tournament setting, I don't think that matters so much.
ABC, always be covering.
For us, well, maybe for you. I don't know what you're doing in your spare time to make the games more interesting. But for a lot of us, hey, it just feels great to win by more than a goal.
But also go on team totals.
We're not even being, like, it got a little hairy against Australia because they made some changes, got, you know, some of their better offensive players. They are killing their coach, by the way, for his team selection. The Australians, cocky as hell, thought they were going to run right through us.
Why did he not start his two goal scorers?
I don't know why. That's their point of contention. Why wouldn't you start the guys who created some of the chances against who they play? Turkey in their first game.
They really thought they were going to run through us?
The Australian fan, the Australian media thought they were coming to prove that we're the sorry people. They talked a lot of noise.
We're the queens.
They talked a lot of noise and thought this one, they had us. And then they saw the team selection, and then they just started ripping their coach. And, you know, they blamed the referees, thought they should add a couple penalty kicks. It was all the excuses because they were talking a lot about how they were going to take apart the U.S. And then when it didn't happen, they're like, oh, well, what? The coach didn't do this. He didn't play that. The referees were out to get us. Australia was talking like they were Spain. That's
Australia, please.
They were disrespecting us.
Please, Australia. You're Australia. You're barely even a step ahead of New Zealand. That's it.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question? Why did you say Turkey?
Because that's what they want people to say.
That's where.
Okay, do you say Espana? Do you say France?
I actually do.
They changed.
Because that's how they say it.
That is not what they've asked for the English broadcasters to say. They still say, hey, we're fine with Spain. But the Turkey has asked the English broadcasters.
Yeah, they're Turkey, and they'll always be Turkey.
It's happened with Alpi too.
How you say it, I'm just saying it. How I say it, it doesn't really matter. You want to say it that way? That's
on
fine.
Turkey. Well, you don't even like turkey at Thanksgiving, so.
Well, I don't. It's dry as hell.
That's why you won't say it.
No, I'll say Turkey because that's apparently what they want. But
I'm going to say Turkey at Thanksgiving now.
That's fine. I won't be there, so say what you want. You can upset all your Cajun relatives by doing that.
Yeah, I'm going to say, yeah.
When they ask you why you're talking funny, then you can explain.
Who needs some more Turkey?
Turkey.
You want some gravy on that?
You know what I'll never say?
There's another one,
too. I want some more Turkey. Trash-ass protein.
It's a great protein.
Dry-ass protein.
Turkey.
It sucks.
That's right.
Stop saying Turkey. Never had it before. Now, if you want to process it, slice it, and put it in a sandwich, that's fine.
Yeah, but I'm not serving it as a whole bird and then cutting it up. Get out of here with that.
If it's fried and injected, you can.
Yes,
you know.
Once you manipulate it into something edible,
yeah,
sure.
It's so good that people have it one day a year.
Exactly. Or when you're at a Renaissance fest,
everybody has turkey sandwiches throughout the year. What are you talking about?
Processed turkey breast. Processed turkey. Sure,
processed turkey breast that's honey baked or, you know, mesquite smoked. Where's the big ass bird?
Turkey,
you get rotisserie chickens all the time.
One of the most popular sandwiches in the world.
Why don't they make rotisserie turkeys?
Yeah, do you get a big-ass bird and prepare it once a month?
I do. No. You know how they have turkey breast, too.
They have turkey breast. That's different. That's small. Why don't you get that big-ass turkey?
But because it's too big to put in one of those bags at the supermarket under the heater.
You could have a huge turkey bag.
Yeah, why not?
Hey, kids, I got some rotisserie turkey.
So great.
And this is what your kids are saying.
I like that
turkey. I hate it.
No, that turkey breast under the heater at the supermarket is excellent. Excellent. Yeah.
Anybody listening to you?
Damn, very juicy.
Anybody listen to this man?
Juicy.
Dry ass turkey protein breast. He loves.
Yeah, I like turkey. Yeah, sliced
and
turkey.
It's not turkey. It's turkey.
Whatever. People say it however they like. It's still a. It's still your the own, next opponent.
Hold on. Your own power forward says turkey.
Yeah. No, no, no. You're like, good evening, everyone, on ABC 13 News. I'm Maria Chava. What?
No. Okay, stop turkey already. Is the English what? Pronunciation. They said turkey that? Is the
I'm Maria
English-
Chava. What? What? No, what? You're Maria Chavez. Okay,
why can't
stop.
She say her name the way she wants to?
No, 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 no. If you're speaking English, speak English. It's turkey.
No, there's an E at the end of it. It's spelled with an E. How come? Oh, but you'd be okay with Hakeem Olajuwon. You started changing the way his name was spelled.
Not
you said it was
spelled,
an H.
I still
Roy
pronounce
Oswalt
it Hakeem because
Roy
the H was silent.
Roy Oswalt told you to say Oswalt. You just lapped it up. Just a little bootlicker. Okay, Roy. Why didn't you keep that same energy for Roy Oswalt?
He was always Oswalt, though.
He was and Roy Oswalt, the Wizard of Oz.
See, it's just you remember that? Terrible
he
talking
O's.
To you two.
He wasn't the Wizard of O's.
To be fair,
I, mean, I don't
I don't
care
like
one way or the other.
Turkey either. It's like, well, when do we start doing this?
I'll go back and forth. It's not a real point of contention for me. It doesn't matter to me. Seems to be for you, though.
It should matter a little bit more.
It should matter for everybody.
I flip back and forth. Turkey, depending on how
mama,
I feel.
Mama called it turkey, I'ma call it turkey.
Your mother didn't name
she
turkey
never
in the country.
About turkey
yeah,
country.
What are you talking about?
No chance.
She kind of did. She kind of did. She was always like, Johnny, you're going to have to get your hair done one day there. And I was like, okay, Ma.
They didn't back in the day have hair stuff back in Turkey back in the day.
I said, no, I'm going to Doc Linville.
That's
we got a break. You got in a radio show that you never broke for. And now you will, right now on ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media Station.